The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
The center can be reached for halachic services, consultations, and shilas at 888-485-VAAD or at thehalachacenter.org.
Gittin Daf Chostef. Our Gemara discusses the question of Mili Limits from the Shliach, that there are certain things that you can't appoint the Shliach, an agent, to do, and one of them is something which is considered Mili. The definition of Mili in our situation seems to be that any time that the Mishaleach doesn't actually hand the get itself, the document of the get, over to the Shliach, but rather instructs the Shliach to instruct someone else to write the get, halacha would be that that would be Mili. And the Gemara later has discussion whether if the Mishaleach expressly tells the Shliach, go tell someone else to write the get, would that also be considered Mili, or only if the Mishaleach doesn't tell the Shliach specifically to instruct someone else to write a get, but instructs the Shliach to write a get himself, that if the Shliach will go ahead after that and pass it on to somebody else and instruct somebody else to write a get, that would be a problem of Mili. But if the Mishaleach told the Shliach expressly that he wants the Shliach to tell someone else to write the get, that would not be a problem of Mili. That's a discussion in the Gemara later. The Rishonim struggle very, very much with this concept. Why would there be a problem that if the Mishaleach tells the Shliach to instruct someone else to write a get, what would be the possible issue over here? The Ramban asks that, or granted, when the Mishaleach tells the Shliach to be Mamana, to appoint another Shliach, perhaps the Shliach cannot be considered a Shliach on that. He cannot act as an agent of the Mishaleach to appoint another Shliach because that's Mili. Let's accept that fact, that that is not something that a Shliach can be considered a Shliach to do. And it's impossible to create such an agency where the agency is only to say words. That's the idea that the Gemara is telling us. But nevertheless, it's hard to understand why this, in this case, the woman would not be considered megureshes. Why wouldn't we say that when the husband told the shliach, go appoint a different shliach, what the husband really meant to do was, he meant to appoint that shliach from afar. He meant to say, whoever you appoint is going to be considered a shliach right now. And just like the Ramban assumes that a person certainly has the right to say that I want a certain person to be my shliach, and then the message will be passed on to that person that he's the designated shliach, that assumes the Ramban would certainly work in any case where shliachus is necessary. For example, if I wanted a shliach to carry the get and hand it over to a woman, and I sent a message to a certain person that I want him to be the shliach, so even though I didn't actually appoint him as a shliach face to face, nevertheless, since I designated him as a shliach, that designation would take effect, and that person would then be able to subsequently go ahead and take the get and hand it over to the woman and make her and create and execute the divorce. So, argues the Ramban, why would that not be applicable in this case? The Ramban says, we can't understand, it's possible to understand that in a situation where the husband did not designate a specific person, perhaps that doesn't work, because a designation that's not specific to one individual perhaps would not be a valid minhag shlichus. That is room for discussion, and I intend the Mirza Shem to discuss it in the sugya of Breira that we passed by already. But the Ramban says, what about a case where the husband did specify a specific person that he wants to be his agent? Why in that case would there be a problem of Mili? The Ramban assumes that this problem of Mili is universal, that even if the husband designates a specific person that he wants the shliach to notify of his new status as an agent, that also would be an issue. And the question the Ramban asks is, why would that be an issue? Why wouldn't the husband be able to appoint a shliach from far away? So the Ramban says, he creates a new concept over here. He says that the reason why there's an issue by Eimer Imru, the reason why there's a problem of Mili Limits from Shliach even in such a situation, is because of a new problem. Of course, as far as Shlichus is concerned, that person would indeed become the agent of the husband to write the get and to hand it over to the woman. Whatever the husband wants him to do, he would be considered an agent of the husband. However, the issue that we're facing is another issue completely. The issue that we're facing is that indeed that person becomes an agent of the husband. But like we learned throughout the parak, there's a concept of lishma in the get. The get has to be written l'shem, for the intention of the husband being megarish and for the intention of him being megarish with a specific woman. Now, the Ramban says that when the person writing the get, the sefer, the scribe, and the Edom did not hear from the husband's mouth that he wants to be Megarish's wife, he wants to divorce his wife with this specific document, in such a situation, it's impossible for the scribe and the witnesses to write and sign the get, Lishma. The concept of Lishma, for some reason, it obligates the husband to tell the Sefer and the Edom face-to-face that he wants them to write the get for the woman, and if he says from far away, he says, I want such and such a person to write the get, I want such and such people to sign the get, and then that message is passed on to those people, that would not be considered lishma. The understanding of this Ramban, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but let's just take from the Ramban this idea that the Ramban says that Omer Imru does not apply to a situation where the husband designates a shliach from far away. The shliach issue is not the problem. The only problem is Lishma. The Ra'ah indeed argues on the Ramban, and the Ra'ah says that the problem of Omer Imru would only apply to a situation where the husband did not designate a specific shliach to write the get. But when the husband says that I want a specific person to write the get and I want a specific agent to sign the get, then we would not have an issue at all of Omer Imru, and in that case the get would indeed be kosher. This argument I just wanted to bring into Chayshim Mishpat a little bit. It's a very, very fundamental question over here. That there's halacha in Chayshim Mishpat that says that a minor or someone who's mentally incapacitated or a deaf mute, a chayr shaytan and katan, or a non-Jew are not able to be considered agents according to halacha. A person cannot vest one of these people with agency to do a certain action. So therefore, if you appoint a miner, a cotton, or a cheirish, or a shaita, to complete a transaction, to negotiate a sale, or to do a matana, to hand over a present, the halacha would be that would not be a valid agency. The Nesiva takes a strong issue with this. He says he doesn't understand why. He understands why a minor or a cheresh and a shaita or a non-Jew would not be able to complete a transaction like a mecher, because a sale requires negotiations between the parties. Since negotiations are required, so it makes sense to say that that this type of person is unqualified to be an agent to complete these negotiations. However, in a situation where no negotiations are required, such as a situation where it's matana, where he's giving a gift. And the Nesivus discusses some situations where it would apply, but in a general sense, when a person is gifting something to somebody, or he wants to complete a sale that has already been completely negotiated, he just wants to notify the buyer that he's now willing to sell at a certain price, that notification should not require the agency of somebody who's a qualified agent. You shouldn't need somebody who's kosher l'shlichus to be able to complete such a transaction, because all the shliach is really doing is passing on this information and telling the buyer or the recipient of the gift that the mishaleya, that the meicher or the nois matana, the grantor, has acquiesced to complete this transaction. And once the recipient has this information, now he can go ahead on his own and do the ma'aseh kinyan and complete the transaction. So why on earth would we need to have that the person who's acting as an agent would be somebody who's a qualified shliach, a qualified agent? This is the Sivas' argument. Now, the Nesiva seems to be self-evident, and logically it's hard to understand why we would disagree with the Nesiva, especially in light of the Ramban and the Ra'ah that we just said over. According to the Ramban and the Ra'ah, it's possible to designate somebody as a shliach from far away. So why would it not be possible to make a statement that I intend to give a certain item to a certain person as a gift, and based on that information, that person will be able to make a kinyan in that gift, and or to complete the proper kinyan and thereby acquire that item. What would be the difference between designating a shliach or designating a person as a recipient of your gift? they would seem to be very comparable, and therefore, based on this Ramban and this Ra'ah, we should say that that the Nesivos should be logically Muchach. We would not be able to argue on the Nesivos. However, there appears to be a Ktsais that argues on this Nesivos, and not only does a Ktsais appear to argue on the Nesivos, but a friend of mine pointed out that if you learn certain Sugyas in Eizon Neshach and Ribbis, it seems that many of the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch, indeed possibly some Rishonim also, are clearly Muchach, not like the Nesivos. So we are left to try to understand how we would differentiate between Meshaleach and a Shliach, somebody who's trying to appoint somebody as an agent, and somebody who's trying to grant a present to somebody. One possibility might be that when a person wants to designate somebody as an agent, he's not accomplishing a transaction between himself and the agent. The agent is not receiving anything from him. The agent is not going to be in any way, has no dealings at all with the Meshaleach. He's doing a favor for the Meshaleach. And the only consequence of the Meshaleach's designation of this person as an agent is only vis-a-vis the person who's receiving the get, let's say. Let's say the Meshaleach is sending a get. Let's say he's sending a get through an agent, so the agent himself is not receiving anything. It's the woman who is going to be the recipient and to whom this agency is of consequence. However, when it comes to the situation of granting a present to somebody, so the recipient of the present is obviously the person to whom this makes a difference. So therefore, it's possible that all these achrayim who argue on the Nesivos take the position that although the Rishonim are clearly saying that it's possible to designate somebody as an agent when he's far away without actually talking face to face to that person, that only applies to agency where the consequence of the agency is not for the shliach. The agent, it doesn't really make a difference to the agent whether or not he can act as an agent. It makes a difference to somebody else. So therefore, it would not be necessary to discuss the terms of the agency directly with the agent. And even though it wasn't discussed face to face with him, the agent would still have that power to complete the transaction. However, in a situation where a person wants to give a matana or complete a sale, that may be different because in that case, the das that the person is having one and the changes of status that the person is accomplishing when he makes the announcement and says that I want to give this present to a certain person, that change of status directly affects the recipient of the gift. It is much to his benefit to be able to receive that gift. And therefore, if it wasn't conveyed to him face to face, it's possible to say that the recipient of the gift has no right to rely on that information if it wasn't conveyed face to face. This would be based on the concept that it's not considered a good gilui das if that information was not conveyed directly to the person to whom the gilui das affects. The gilui das would not be considered a good gilui das. That would be binding, and it would be binding in the future, and a person can act on that even after the gilui das was made, if it wasn't made face to face with the person who was most affected by that gilui das. However, as far as agency, we're saying that since the agent is not affected at all by that gilui das, so therefore there's no reason for the gilui das to have to take place in the presence of the agent, and the gilui das would be considered as binding on the person who conveyed that gilui das, even after he conveyed the gilui das, even though the agent was not present at the time. One very big consequence of this argument between the Ktsais and the Nesivos is when you see, let's say, Sukkot time, you see children selling aravos or other items from the Dalad Minim. You see minors, Ketanim, selling parts of the Dalad Minim. And this doesn't just apply in Sukkot when you have to actually own the Dalad Minim. It applies anytime you're buying something from a minor to whom this item obviously does not belong. He's only acting as a shliach of a person who is an adult. And the argument could be made that since a minor is not able to complete a transaction, the halacha should be that one would not be allowed to buy anything from a minor, from a katan. And indeed, that should be the halacha. And unless there's a sign telling the buyer exactly what the price is, that way the person doesn't have to rely on the minor at all. But when the minor's shlichus, his agency, is required to complete the sale, that would not work. So if you say, like the Nesivas, that once the person who's selling the Aravas already made an announcement in his house and he said, I want to sell these Aravas for $4, let's say, or I want to sell this Esrig for $350, so then the miner is not doing anything. He's a Kaif Alma. He's just acting as, making the physical conveyance of the item to the recipient, to the buyer. However, if you hold like the Ktsois, that Gilui Das that took place in the seller's house has no relevance at all, and it has no binding effect on the transaction. So now we have a very serious problem that it would be impossible under such circumstances to buy items from a minor, even assuming that the seller already completed and finalized the price, even prior to the transaction. The seller had already determined what the price would be, and no negotiations are required. Nevertheless, according to the Ktsois, the minor would not be able to act as an agent of the seller, and therefore this transaction will be invalid and it will be usur to buy something that's being sold by a minor. I don't know if this is the halacha. I see that the minig is, it seems, to rely on minors as agents under such circumstances. So maybe the minig is to rely on the nesivus. But that's obvious, and it should be obvious, that anytime any negotiations are required, even the nesivus agrees that a minor cannot act as a shliach, and therefore it will be impossible to buy from a minor when negotiations are required. So again, to recap, if you have a situation where we can assume that the seller had already determined what the price would be and no negotiations are required as far as setting the price on an item, then it will be an argument between the Ktsois and the Nesivus whether or not a minor will be able to notify the buyer about the intention of the seller to sell. According to the Nesivus, the minor would be able to, because he's just conveying the intentions of the seller, and now the buyer can act on his own independently based on the fact that he knows the intentions of the seller. However, according to the Ktsois, the buyer would not be able to act on that information, and even if the minor conveys this information to the buyer, and now the buyer knows that the seller had intended to sell the item for a certain price, the buyer would not be able to, based on that, make a kinyan in the item, and any kinyan that he makes based on that information would be considered an invalid kinyan and would not belong to the buyer.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Chabad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.